This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy Wednesday to you. Happy cherry cheesecake day. I almost said cherry cheesesteak. And that's an entirely different innovation. And not a good one, I don't think.
That sounds nasty.
I'll try it, though. I'm going to be honest. I would try it at least once. I'm not going to lie. All through that crosstalk, yeah. I was thinking milk Shakespeare. And I was like, how do I make this a thing? I was like, that's not good. It's not good. Just leave that alone.
All through that crosstalk, I was thinking, look at Figgy channeling C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Look at Figgy.
Oh, because he's wearing a hat?
Oh, the bucket hat?
It's a good bucket hat. It's a good bucket hat.
You need
it's,
to put it real high and put a ribbon around it like C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Shout out to C.J. Gardner-Johnson who brought all the entertainment value that you would expect of a person of his stature to the podium yesterday. We'll hear from him today. And we'll get you ready for various things, right? We are one sleep away from the draft, the 2025 NFL draft. We are zero sleeps away, unless you need to get a nap in or something, from game two of NBA first round action, Rockets, Warriors. And let's start this up. In fact, first and foremost, myself and Figgy getting in the vibes of I don't think we're going to be in the arena tonight. However, what we are doing is we are wearing the shirt.
I'm actually kind of glad I forgot now, because then we would have looked really weird with all three of us.
No, we would have looked like we are all pulling in the right direction.
We would have looked like a damn family.
That's right. What like. You out here being different.
You know what I call you two? No, I'm not going to say that.
Don't do that. But 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. That's right. Also, appreciation of the Mokarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on YouTube and Twitch. My bad. That's on me. Where you can get involved with the program. Let's go ahead and ask our questions headed into game two. What are the questions that you have for game two, particularly as the Rockets hope to even up the series 1-1 before they make the trip to San Francisco?
All right, so we can start with the big picture here and then get into some more of the minutiae or smaller things.
I want to start with minutiae.
You want to start with minutiae?
No, I'm just playing.
We can do that, but the big picture.
People don't want to hear the minutiae.
I mean, it's not a complicated question for me. The biggest story of tonight's game.
Where the offense at?
That's maybe even smaller. Who's going to step up? Who's going to score 30?
Who's going to step up?
Who's going to put 30 on them? 28.
From the Rockets team?
Yes.
Who's most likely to do that? Is that where we're starting?
To me, that's the biggest question. You have to you know, one thing we've seen, and the playoffs have just really started, you know, obviously. But we've seen in every game, one of the things that we mentioned last week, like a star doing star things. You've got to have that guy. We saw it with Steph and Jimmy Butler, mostly Steph, but we saw it in, you know, Kawhi has done it. Well, you know, Luka has done it. I mean, you've got to have a guy step up and make the other team pay with a big night.
So, well, you're talking about those, and I feel like that's probably more the guys that you expect to be relatively consistently in the 20 to 30 range.
But the Rockets need a guy to do that. They didn't have anybody that could really put the pressure,
right,
make them make adjustments, make them change their defensive scheme. The trickle down is incredible if you have one dude that is just on.
Yeah, but I think
this ain't the off season yet.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't want to go to that conversation. That is not a conversation we need to have yet. It's a conversation that we've probably already had too much in this particular time period. But I mean, I think, is it probably fair to say that you would, instead of like one guy drop a 35 of them things, you probably need a couple guys dropping 22, right? Like, who are those guys that are capable and available to do that? From the 281 on the text line already coming in, y'all are going to laugh at me. I don't think so. I don't think I'm gonna in that space to laugh. Well, Lopez did just chuckle there.
I laughed at the question.
Fair enough. They said, I believe that tonight Jalen, Jabari, and Amen are going to show up and show out. That's just the way I feel, and we'll even the series. How do you feel about those three as potentials in here when you talk about Jalen Green, mm-hmm. who obviously is going to have the ball in his hands a decent amount because that's just kind of the way that you've found success of late. Jabari Smith Jr., who is a guy that we looked at as good in the relatively limited offensive mm-hmm. role that he had, and we have questions about how much will that role be expanded. And then Amen Thompson, who admittedly not nearly to the level as of Jalen Green and probably Fred VanVleet, but was a disappointment in game one, at the very least offensively, where he just did not impact the game very much there. And defensively, I don't know how much you can blame him for the fact that Steph Curry can go supernova in some ways.
I think, you know, look, the Rockets can win like that. You know, they've won like that. They've been able to just, you know, beat you in several different ways with different guys. You know, we've had the discussion about who's going to have the ball at the end, and it's two or three different guys. I still want to see somebody go off. I think that is what's going to affect Steve Kerr and the defense and how they play you all the way. Now, Jalen Green would be the obvious choice. Şengün would be the second most obvious choice. Those guys, one of those two guys has to be supernova. They have to.
I don't even know if that's a fair thing from them to be like supernova, because if you're waiting for one of them to just be supernova, I do wonder, are you going to get to a place where you're waiting to the point where mm-hmm. you end up in the offseason, right?
Sure.
To say it as nicely as I possibly
sure.
can. Now, to a point and kind of getting closer to that, one of the questions I have for this game is, does Ime Udoka change his rotation? Ime had been, regular season and the postseason are different. I want to acknowledge that up front. But in the regular season, Ime had been willing to play 9, 10 players deep and maybe more at times, depending on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Does that shift? Does he shift the way that his rotation operates? Does he maybe even add someone to the rotation like folks were clamoring for, and maybe seeing a little Reed Shepard, seeing a little Cam Whitmore, who I thought posited, and Aaron Holiday, because he said that he is not tied to the mm-hmm. 8-man rotation that you saw in game one. But I don't know how often you typically see a rotation expanded in the postseason once it's kind of tightened down.
Yeah, look, that's on my list, is what's the lineup going to be? How is the lineup going to expand? Because I feel like it does. I feel like he gave us a hint, as you just mentioned, that this lineup is going to expand. I just have that gut feeling about, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, as B. Scott was saying yesterday, of a Reed Shepard. That would be my first.
Well, I think he was more an advocate for Cam Whitmore.
Or Cam Whitmore.
Especially because he can get in that place. What he said is eight to ten minutes.
Not necessarily a big, you know, dose, but something to loosen up the defense, something to knock down the threes, something to stretch them out a little bit. I think one of those two guys would be the most likely. So how is the lineup? That's on my list. Another one on my list that I think is, you know, damn near as important as, you know, somebody going off is who's getting you into the offense. You know, how are you going to get into your offense? I said it the other day that they have a lot of guys that can score, but they don't have an effective offense. They need an effective offense, and how are you going to get there is my other point.
It still feels like I don't necessarily – and maybe you could just say, damn, Reggie, you were not imaginative in this moment. That probably is fair if you want to levy that against me. But I still think that it's probably – you go to Alperen in the middle of the floor like you had. He had a level of success mm-hmm. doing that. And you still trust that, hey, man, we're going to have Jalen Green in some of these pick and rolls or dribble handoffs.
Yeah.
And then also we're going to go and hunt. And I think that leads me, sorry to jump off of the question that you've had here, mm-hmm. because I think that I don't know that I have a great answer outside of, hey, I think you largely have mm-hmm. seen it. How much do you then also, or how good can you be in hunting Steph? And how much better is it? Because it just needs to be better. I don't know that you can allow Steph Curry to get away with the instances where you put him against a good perimeter player mm-hmm. and they win the possession, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a step back three or a long shot, as opposed to getting to the rim and forcing the issue against the smallest and probably least good defender that the Golden State Warriors are going to have on the floor for the most part.
No, I agree, actually. I think that's something that the last 3 days, but definitely the last 2 days, I can guarantee you the Rockets have been looking for ways to do that, exactly that. They've showed that one play that we all talked about, you know, how do you defend him and then how do you have him defending you and then take a step back three? They probably showed that in the film room multiple times. But I do agree with you on that. The other thing that is more of a smaller thing that is very, very important to me is you have to – it's not even a question, I guess, but you have to have that kind of rebounding again. Like that rebounding is what kept you in the game. You would have been run out of the gym if you hadn't been, you know, putbacks and rebounds and defensive rebounds. Right. And so you would have been run out of the gym, I'm sorry to say. But you have to – Steven Adams has to have another game like he did, and you have to have more guys. You have to be able to out-rebound the Warriors, because that is the one place when you start doing the checkbox thing, check it over here, check it over there. I think everybody would say the Rockets have a rebounding advantage. They have to capitalize.
And one of the encouraging things about that for me is that Steven Adams – most every time that you get him out there this season, basically is that. Like, that was not, oh, man, Steven Adams put up one of those.
No, he's been the most consistent.
In the postseason, you have the games where a podium game is what I like to call it. Mm-hmm. Like, a player who maybe is a certain level of role player kind of seems to play outside of his role for a night to give you an opportunity to steal a game or what have you, that maybe you probably shouldn't have won. Or what Steven Adams, that game, that was more of what you typically expect is him eating glass and like being dominant down the floor. It's one of the reasons why he led the damn league in offensive rebounding percentage, right? It was because he has that level of game to him. I think the question that you ask is, can you expand his minutes beyond 20?
Yeah.
Because he got 20 minutes in that first game, and all of those minutes were great. And there were some times late in the second half where you were like, can we get Steven Adams back out here? Because it felt like that was a useful time for him on the floor. Like, and if you can expand that, to what level? Can you add 5 more minutes? Can he play 25 minutes knowing that you're not going to play again until Saturday, right? Is that something where you know that you have a little bit of time, and can we push, ring a little bit more out of a guy who's not like crazy old? He's like 31, but you know, he has the injury issues. And he has some of those things. Yeah. So I do wonder, is that something where you can get some more run out of that? And does that ultimately give you a little bit more, because your offense oftentimes is so much predicated on second and third chance opportunity.
And he hasn't been bad in terms of either passing the ball or finishing on offense either. I think you need to run him until the wheels fall off. And I think he would tell you that. Run him until the wheels fall off, because he's such an influence, a plus player, if you will. Last thing that I had on my list is you have to start fast. You have to start fast. We know these games go in ebbs and flows. Yeah. We know people make a run, but you're down 1-0 at home, man. You've got to jump out on these cats. You've got to jump out with a 10-point lead going into the second quarter, something along those lines, 8-point, 10-point control, and just put that momentum, on your side. But also,
I don't accept your apology.
But just the confidence and have them on their heels a little bit.
I mean that's in any basketball game, but particularly in one like this. Like, if you can apply some pressure and maybe get the Warriors out of necessarily their style
comfort zone. Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I'm thinking. One of them comes in on the YouTube page. I think Jabari should start tonight, Jeremy says. Do you kind of agree with that sentiment?
What's that?
Jabari Smith Jr. starting, or at least getting more burn? Because that was a question that was asked to Ime after game one. Is like, do you have any consideration for starting Jabari Smith Jr. or at least giving him a larger role, or basically trying to get him on the floor more?
I just want the rotation to be able to be expanded and find the hot hand.
Okay.
Like, whether it's Reed, Shepard, or Cam Whitmore, or Jabari, whomever it is, I think you need to be more than 8 deep. You need to go more than 8 deep, especially when you're struggling offensively.
One of the questions that I have, and somewhat hopeful thinking I understand, is what happens if you do knock down shots? Because there was a lack of shot making in game one, and that was very evident, obviously, from certain people, especially Fred VanVleet. And one of the reasons why I did not entirely jump out the gym on his performance, it was not a good one by any means, but he was getting good looks. They just weren't going for him. Yeah. And I know some of these other guys, you're going to need to have knockdown shots as well to a much higher degree than they did. But, I mean, Fred in particular having so many of those looks, maybe, Tari missing his 4, Jalen Green missing his 4, those didn't help. But, like, what happens if you knock down a few of these shots? What can you shift? Like, what does it look like? Does this then give energy to your offense? But then also, does that at all shift the way, or how many shots do you have to knock down to shift the way that the Golden State Warriors play you defensively? Can you force them to unshrink the floor, to not pack the paint? And then does that allow you to really get busy in a different way?
Yeah, that's basically, I think one of the biggest keys, if not the biggest key. I said you have to have one guy go off, because for the same reason. If one guy goes off, it changes the effect, the way they defend, et cetera, et cetera. But if you get 2 or 3 guys knocking down 3-point shots, think about how much zone they ran. You know, the zone all of a sudden becomes something they put in their back pocket a little bit.
That's interesting. I had not really considered from that perspective, but if they do, if you can just, even
get
if they're still
out of the zone,
even if they're still trying to,
Alperen Şengün too.
Right, exactly. That's exactly where I wanted to go. I think we're in a mind meld at this point. Even if you don't get them to stop digging in, right, where you have guys sagging off of their guys in the perimeter a little bit to get in, even if you just force them back into a man situation where you don't have a zone, where when Alperen has the ball, he's not looking at two guys that can really come at him at, with depending on what move. If he can get back to that one-on-one, he was cooking Draymond Green. And he has cooked Draymond Green when he has the opportunity to go one up against him, or at least he has won more than he has lost for the most part. If you can at least force them into man coverage as opposed to being in zone, you might be able to get yourself enough offense to get over that, what, 95-point barrier. And not to say that it's absolutely going to be exactly that number again, but get over that barrier to make you get you a win and get you back to 1-1 as you head out of Houston.
The best thing about getting them out of the zone, outside of knocking down some threes, which will do it, is a lot of times when they were getting the entry pass into Alperen Şengün against the zone, there was already two defenders there because it's a zone. There's one in front, one in back. All right? If you're in man, there's only one defender there, and they have to come at you. And that gives him more room to move and kick out or take it to the rack.
Yeah, super excited for what this game looks like. This is going to be an important basketball game to try and get a victory. And I guess another question is how settled have the nerves become after a game?
Yeah, big one. That's a very good one.
Right.
Because I said it and I still stand by it. They look like a team that had never been in this environment in the past. And Jalen Green looked like a guy. I used the word wilted. Maybe that's a little harsh, but I think he did. That needs to change.
Yeah, super excited. Yeah. Excited for a liftoff,
As
myself and Figgy's shirt say. Unfortunately, Lopez's shirt says Columbia.
Mine says Columbia.
That's right. But super excited for this game to start. 8:30 on TNT and Space City Home Network. If you're watching along, and you should be, with the Rockets in the first round. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we are one day away from the NFL draft. It's got a butt. People are dropping nuggets as to what's happening, including... Seems like the Nick Caserio trade-up noise is getting really big. Let's dig into that.